Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. It's your host, Natalie Abbott.
And it's Vera Schmitz. I'm back, okay. People.
She's just ridiculous. She's making faces at me. I mean,
guys, I'm happy to be back. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Mean, I'm kind of happy that you're back.
But so am I. You'd rather interview April or Lindsay.
I mean, they definitely don't make faces when I do the introduction.
I can't help myself. We have this practice of putting up a post-it over our own face when, because like when we're doing this recording, you can see your face and it's like extremely distracting. So I just try to make a bunch of faces at Natalie.
Yep. I'm over here looking at you. Well, welcome back, Vera. Where have you been? Tell us what, you know, like how was life in the in-between?
Yes. So our family grew this summer through adoption. We added a sweet, sweet, sweet baby boy over Memorial Day weekend. And he is so squishy and so sweet. And we have had just an amazing couple months. My older two boys are like in love and only want to make the bottles and give all the kissies. So we've been in a really sweet season, and I'm grateful to have like had some time as just a mommy for a minute. I'm also super pumped to be back. There's nothing like taking a break to reinvigorate your work. I'm pumped to be here.
Well, I'm pumped that you're back. I really am. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that you had a season of restfulness. I feel like sometimes that first couple months with a new baby can be really just wild.
It can. So. I'm one of those weird people. One of my friends was like, it's because you're Joyce's daughter. And so my mom is like a real baby person. She's very greedy for grandchildren, very greedy. And she's got, how many does she have? 18? Yeah, 18. Yeah. And you would think that she has zero. She like only wants babies. So I know a lot of people like hate the newborn phase. And I've never had like a colicky kid. So maybe I would also hate the newborn phase if that was my situation. But I don't mind even getting up at night. Like I am one of those weird people who like just treasure holding that little tiny guy. Even lack of sleep felt very rested in my spirit, just like joy overflowing.
I feel like there's something different too that happens when it's like your last kid or, you know, a kid after you've kind of, you've worried all the worries that you're going to worry with an infant and you freaked out about all the things and you know going in, like, I'm not going to sleep for the next 3 months and that's okay. There's something about that that allows you to sort of like settle into it and love it more.
I feel not like, oh, I'm up again. It's like, I'm not going to sleep. That's fine. We'll get back to that thing called sleep.
I know. I remember, I think it was with Miriam, my third, that I read through one of the books of the Harry Potter series in through the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to pick up a book and read it. And it was magical. I mean, there were times when I was like done with all the burping and changing and feeding and all that stuff. And I still was like reading the chapter and I'm like, to go back to bed.
I did several of the books of the Chronicles of Narnia with Jordan. And this time around, I actually... thank God for Audible. I had some credits that I accidentally like kept a membership when I didn't need to. So I had an Audible credit and listened to Where the Crawdads Sing and started another book. And I was like, this is, I like didn't want to go back to sleep sometimes because I was like in the middle of the book. So yeah, anyway, I'm back though. And I'm so happy.
Welcome.
And I'm excited about this verse. I think it's super hard, but super necessary. Hard.
Yes. So Vera, let's dive into the verse. Will you recite it for our friends who just are hopping in for the first time this month?
Yes. Actually, I feel like we're really living it out because we're wearing the headphones right now and the design is headphones. And it says, but to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And it's Luke 6:27. And it is taking love one another to a whole other, another level.
If you didn't read the post that I wrote at the beginning of the month about this, when I read this and started studying it, that idea of you do to others what you would have them do to you, like that's equal. One level of this, but like it's in the context of, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. So it's not just like those people over there, you need to love like you would want them to love you, like treat them as you would want them to treat you. But like those people over there who are your enemies, it's just hardcore, hardcore,
hardcore.
And it goes on to say, like, pray for those who persecute you, turn the other cheek. You know, there's some really hard things in this verse. So I'm excited, Vera, to hear your take. How has this verse been sitting with you?
You know, what's interesting. I don't have any enemies up close right now. Like somebody who is completely opposed to me, who is like a real hard person for me to love. Nobody is up close for me. And so I was just kind of thinking about, you know, what does that look like then for me to love my enemy? And I remembered this sermon from a pastor when I lived in Indiana. And it's just crazy sometimes how like props actually like make things stick. But mm-hmm. he had this big sign for his sermon and it said contempt on it. And actually, before we got on here, I like looked up the definition of contempt because I was like, okay, I want to say it right. But contempt is the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn. And I was like, oof. Thinking about it this week, I don't have an up close enemy, but I definitely have contempt for people. Mm. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, I used to have a neighbor whose yard was so cluttered, so overgrown with stuff. And it was like plants that were overgrown and gardens that were overgrown and yard gnomes and signage and stuff on the front porch and yeah, stuff in the backyard. Yeah. And I felt like every time I would walk past their house, there was another string of lights going up or another grill being bought. And I was just like, I had contempt. I'm like, that person, I didn't even know their name, that person and their yard, like you're an eyesore, you're a hoarder. Like I just had contempt towards them. If I were to bump into them and have a conversation with them, I think that my immediate attitude towards them would be contempt toward them. Like it would take a bit for me to settle into the conversation because of the way that they were choosing to use their yard. And so I think it can be as small as that, like my inner attitude toward a person or a type of person really shows where my heart is. There's not love toward that person, even in my mind, let alone in a conversation. So that's really has been like rubbing up against me of like, okay, who are the people in my neighborhood that I maybe have contempt for?
Well, I think, you know, that's interesting. So last week I got to talk with a gal named Madison, who her husband is from the Ukraine. They right now are missionaries serving Ukrainian refugees in Romania. And that's a very specific kind of enemy right there.
That's an up close enemy right there.
Yeah. That's like an enemy, mm-hmm. right? And how do you get over that kind of enemy? But I love that this direction is going a completely other direction where it's like, who are your enemies that like you wouldn't even necessarily think of them as a quote unquote enemy. Like I don't have any enemies. This verse isn't for me. Who are the people though that you're like, oh, are you serious? Are they coming? Do I have to be around that person? They are annoying. I dislike them. I think that word and that definition of contempt that are so much less than us that we just don't even.
We perceive them as less than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Perception, not actuality. Actual. Yeah. Dang, V.
Sorry. I had to do it.
That's some good stuff. And, you know, I think too, who are the real life humans, right, that annoy you because of their yard or because of their political stance or because of they do this or they don't do that and you prefer this over that? Who are those people, either as a group, as a party, as a individual who represents that, you know, where it's like you can't even see past the color of their hair, the tattoo that they have on their arm that says something, the sign in their yard, the whatever, the bumper sticker on their car. Like Are there people that immediately, like, you see them and you're like, nope, mm-hmm. writing that one off?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah. I mean, I think that that's something that we have to fight against, though, as Christians.
Totally. And what's even more to me is, like, you know, sometimes it's easy to get over that stuff when your assumption is that they aren't a believer. And you're like, well, they're not a believer, so I can, like, get past that and love that person. But what happens when it's somebody sitting next to you in the pew who, like, in your mind, if they really knew Jesus, then they wouldn't X, Y, or Z.
Those shorts would not be that short.
Or whatever the thing is, you know? Yeah. And so it's like our, and whatever that, what a block to the gospel when we have enemies sitting right next to us.
Right. We're the ones throwing up the barriers. Like, you got to come in here and look a certain way, act a certain way, and be a certain way in order to receive the love of Jesus, which is ironic because that's not who Jesus was. That's not how Jesus treated his enemies. Like, if you go through and you read this in its context, if you go through and you say, Jesus loved his enemies, Jesus did good to those who hated him, Jesus blessed those who cursed him, Jesus prayed for those who mistreated him. When somebody slapped Jesus on the cheek, he turned the other cheek to them. When someone took his coat, he gave him his shirt. He gave to everyone who asks, and if anyone took something that belonged from him, he didn't demand it back. He did to others what he would have us do to him. And there's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember where it is, but it basically says that the way that you treated these least of these, that's how you treat me. And in our minds, like, those are the people we have contempt for. They're less than us, the least of these.
Right.
Right.
I mean, if you look even at his followers on Sunday, we had a guest pastor and he was talking about when you really think about the fact that Matthew was a tax collector. Yeah, everybody hated him, but there was also a zealot in the group. And zealots were wholeheartedly opposed to Rome. Tax collectors worked for Rome. Like, these were the ultimate opposites. And so it's just like everybody thought Jesus was going to come and be this military force who was going to overthrow Rome, right? So the zealot was probably like, yes. And then you've got Matthew who's like, why would you choose me? I am opposed to your entire mission. And and here they are. Now they're having to sit with each other. They're having to eat with each other. They're having to go out and talk to people about Jesus and his ministry. Like, I guarantee they did not like each other at first. When you really read into who these people were who were with Jesus, you're like, thank you for the example of, like, two totally opposed people walking next to each other for the same mission to spread Jesus's love. You know, it's such a call for us to follow.
I think too, it's such an example because here you have Jesus who becomes friends with Matthew, right? He calls Matthew and says, you're my friend. And then he says to Simon the Zealot, you're my friend. Right. And because they're both friends with Jesus, Jesus makes them friends with each other. And I'm like, that's what Jesus people are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to look at somebody who is the furthest to the right and somebody who is all the way to the left and be friends with both of them. And as they become friends with Jesus through us, they are then able to be this sort of wild motley crew that is the church.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget. I had a friend one time who just looked at the people that I hung out with. And she was like, what are your friends? Who are these people? Because they don't match each other. It's like we would throw a party and we would invite all the people. And all the people are like, what, you invited that person? You know, like, that's the best kind of party. Right. And Jesus's his leadership vision here of inviting known enemies into his leadership team is something that the world would tell us you never do.
Right.
Right. This is a bad choice. You don't throw a party and invite everybody. You invite these friends to this party and you invite those friends to that party. Mm-hmm. But in Jesus, there's something else that can happen. And that is because he has become friends with his enemies, we as his now friended enemies are able to love our enemies and to draw them into this, like, again, this motley crew of people who, you know, my husband is a pastor, and he said this multiple times. I'm like, you're going to offend people with this. But he's like, I would never be friends with all of you people if it weren't for Jesus. You know, and I'm like, babe, don't say that. But he's like, seriously, we don't have anything in common. People are friends with people who are like them. And all of these people, i.e. the church, if you're doing it right, we're all different. We don't make sense. We shouldn't make sense of the world. And there's something about that that is attractive.
Yes, very attractive.
So let me just go down to verses 35 and 36, because I almost really pushed for 36 to be our memory verse, because I just think it's such a good verse. But verse 35 says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Like, that's the reason that we are ungrateful and wicked. Like, that's the implication there. Sometimes we read these things and we're like, well, I'm a good person, and I, you know, it's hard for me to love my enemies. It's like, no, you're an enemy, and you're only a friend because God has chosen to be kind when you are ungrateful and to save you from your wickedness. So therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And Nat, before we go, I think it's really important to address one thing. How do we speak to somebody who has experienced abuse, whether it's physical or mental or any type of abuse? Like, how do we address them and show them love and give an answer when they've experienced trauma and they hear this verse to love their enemy?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, if that's you right now, or if that's somebody that you know, this is not an excuse for your enemy to treat you unjustly. This is not a pass. This is not you get to be a doormat and they get to walk all over you. God is a God of justice, and he loves his people. He loves the oppressed. He loves the least of these, and he desires for their voice to be heard and for them to be protected. And so if you are in that situation, or if you know somebody in that situation, get out, get out. This isn't telling you to stay with somebody who is abusive towards you. See a counselor, tell somebody, get help, because ultimately we have to hold in intention the two true things that we know about God, which is that he is a God of mercy, and he's also a God of justice. He will be just in every wrong, every wicked thing, every unjust thing that we have ever done as human beings will be punished, will receive its just punishment. Either we will receive that punishment because we have not turned from our wickedness and accepted Christ and his righteousness, or Christ has already experienced that punishment on our behalf. Those are the two options, but there is no room for injustice. So if that is something that you are experiencing, that is not the heart of God for you. His heart is that you would be free of that and be able to thrive and to live in the love and the mercy that he has for you. And even to come to a place where you can let go of hatred towards that person, set up real boundaries, maybe not ever be in a physical, you know, in-person relationship with that person again, but to want them to receive the same thing that you have received from Christ, which is forgiveness and new life in him. So that's the hope, but do not stay in that kind of relationship. That is not what this verse is calling us to do.
That's a good word. I wanted to be sure that we let people know that they are seen, you know?
Yes. Amen. You are definitely seen. God sees you. He loves you. He wants goodness for you in a transformation, in a way that isn't just a looking forward to heaven when all things are made right, but a right now right in your life. And you can have that. Just, you know, I would say, don't keep those things in the dark. Bring them out into the light, because that is where the Lord is. That is where healing is found. That is where truth and honesty come. And that's where you need to be as a believer, is out in the light.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Vera, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be here. Let's do it again next month.
All right, let's do it. I'll see you back here next month.
Okay.
Okay, friends, I want to tell you something really exciting. If you don't know it, Dwell has past verses for sale. These are verses that we have memorized and sent out with our membership where we had a little bit of overage or whatever, or some that we've even like restocked because we think these verses are just so impactful. If you are looking for a Bible verse to memorize, or if you're looking for Bible verses to give away, our kids shop is clutch. You need to go over there to dwelldifferently.com and take a peek at that kit shop. And if for some reason you are not a member, I'm not trying to be too sneaky over here, but you can sign up for a month-to-month membership and just get 1 month and give it a try and go over in that kit shop and get whatever your little heart desires. So check out our kit shop. It's at dwelldifferently.com.